With a look at what could happen next should a leadership contest be triggered, here's our political correspondent Harry Farley.
Crystal ball gazing is a fool's errand in Westminster at the best of times, and the divination orb is particularly murky at the moment, not least because we are in uncharted territory. No Labour Prime Minister has ever faced a leadership contest in office. For now, that is still true. But Andy Burnham's intentions in seeking a return to Parliament are clear. His eyes are on the top job. The Prime Minister's allies insist he will not stand down. So, if there is a contest, the party's rules state that challengers must be MPs, and that remains an obstacle for Mr. Burnham unless he wins a by-election, and challengers, but not the incumbent, must have the public backing of 20% of Labour MPs to run. Once Labour MPs endorse someone, they cannot switch to another candidate unless their original one drops out. The timings and duration of any contest would be down to the party's executive committee. Until recently, Keir Starmer has controlled that body, but it is unclear now whether he still has the authority to dictate the process. The Prime Minister has made clear that if there is a race, he would stand. So the question is who he could face. If Mr. Burnham is accepted as a Labour candidate in Makerfield and wins that by-election, could he form an alliance with Wes Streeting, or a different candidate from the left of the party? That is when the crystal ball gets even cloudier.
It's a coup that's been mounted against Starmer, and he should know about them because he was there when the coup was mounted against me. If Starmer decides to contest the leadership between him and Streeting, it will be a pretty poor choice. I think the Labour Party's ship has frankly sailed. I'm sad to say that, but I do.
Jeremy Corbyn, we are looking at potentially the fall of Keir Starmer. This must be very upsetting for you, as he was your... I can't even say it seriously.
It is desperately upsetting for me, but I'm coping.
He was your protege, no? He ran on a ticket that was Corbyn politics. And they have proven not to work, apparently.
Well, he claimed to be following the policies that we'd put into the two manifestos of 17 and 19, and he rather bizarrely claimed that I was one of his best friends. It was, I must say, it was news to me, and it was news to all of my other friends, but there you go. We always allow a bit of imagination in politics, don't we? And the real issue is that his government has not delivered on working class living standards. It has not delivered on public ownership of water and key services like that. And even the rail public ownership is a pretty botched affair. And it's also pursued international policies that are catastrophic and devastating, including supplying the weapons to enable Israel's genocide against the Palestinians.
And that's something you're going to raise later, isn't it, in a speech? But so I'll come back to it. But just sticking on Starmer, do you think that it's Starmerism and the politics that this Labour Party has pursued that has failed? Or do you think it is him as a person? Do you think it's personality-based?
I think it is largely the policies, but it is partly the personality, because he's somebody that seems uncomfortable talking to the public, uncomfortable doing open-air public meetings in town centres and things. I can't remember him ever doing one. It is the politics of management by him, coupled with an agenda which is simply a managerial agenda. And it doesn't work, because it doesn't excite or enthuse anybody. And even when the government does something broadly right, like bring in the renters bill, it misses the whole point behind it, which is rent control as well as protection of tenants. Of course I agree with protection of tenants, but if you don't control the level of rent that's paid, you're not actually really helping them in the living standards crisis that they're going through.
Looking at what could potentially happen tomorrow, if we work on the hypothetical that Wes Streeting is going to launch a challenge to Keir Starmer, and we again work on the hypothetical that he will be coronated because there may not be a challenger, do you think his politics could turn the party around, or do you think that could be another death knell for the Labour Party?
Well, it's a coup that's been mounted against Starmer, and he should know about them because he was there when the coup was mounted against me. Our response in 2016 was to say, OK, let's have a leadership contest. And we went out, campaigned all over the country, and won with more votes than we'd won with the year before. I don't think he's going to do that at all. If Starmer decides to contest the leadership between him and Streeting, it will be a pretty poor choice of politics. Either you've got the politics of allowing Palantir and the private sector into the NHS, or the politics of the managerialism of Starmer. It won't be a very exciting leadership contest. I think it's all conjecture at this stage. We don't even know what Streeting's going to do. Maybe he hasn't decided himself. If he decides to run, then it could be that Starmer will just say, OK, that's it, I'm off. I don't know. I can't really tell. But it's not as if the public are going to be involved in this. This will be a vote of Labour members. And it is really a bit odd, isn't it, that less than 2 years into a government that came in with a huge parliamentary majority, albeit on a very low vote, that the whole thing has collapsed now, less than two years in, when the opportunities they had and still have to do so much is good. And today, the King's Speech is full of caveats and vagaries. So it doesn't say, for example, that the water companies are going to be taken to task and dealt with. It says there's going to be yet another round of regulation. Well, we've had 30 years of regulation, and we've had an increasing level of sewage in our rivers and streams ever since. We need public ownership. We need public control of the water industry, as well as others.
And that's what you would have pursued?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Public ownership of rail, mail, water as a start, because they ought to be in public hands.
Do you think that Labour has a fundamental issue because of the way in which it has contributed to the Israel-Gaza war? Do you think that people who are standing in the Parliamentary Labour Party, do you think they are all tainted in the public view?
All those that have defended the government's policy on the sale of arms, on not calling for a ceasefire, are actually tainted. As you remember, we did a Gaza tribunal through the Peace and Justice Project. We had 29 expert witnesses, and it's coming out as a book in the very near future, all of the evidence on that. And it is very clear that the government not only supplied arms to Israel, allowed arms to be supplied to Israel, knew full well what was going on, and the RAF overflying of Gaza in order to pick up information must have been witnesses the destruction of schools and hospitals and civilian life. 74,000 people have been killed. And I think forever this will be hung around the necks of this government.
And you're going to raise that again today in your King's Speech?
I never stop raising it because I'm so disgusted at the way in which the Palestinian people have been shortchanged for so long. We're going back all of my lifetime, the Palestinian people have been shortchanged. And we have to keep on speaking up for the Palestinian people, because very few governments anywhere around the world are really, really speaking up and defending the Palestinian people. Only the Hague Group of Nations are actually trying to do anything at the UN.
The prospect of Andy Burnham returning to Parliament, again a hypothetical because he does not have a seat, is that a Labour Party leader you could endorse or support?
Obviously, if Andy decides to run for the leadership of the party, he's got a number of hurdles to get over. One is to find a constituency where there's a vacancy that he can run in. And secondly, to be elected, because the Labour brand did spectacularly badly a week ago. Now, I worked with Andy in the shadow cabinet. He didn't take part in the coup. He then left the shadow cabinet in order to run for mayor of Manchester. And I think he's a greater Manchester mayor. He's done a good job, particularly on the buses and public transport. However, I have noticed that of late, Andy's economic strategy isn't particularly radical. And indeed, his suggestion that there should be private finance borrowing in order to pay for defence increases fills me with horror. It's almost as bad as a PFI in the health service that we would end up allowing the private sector to be involved in the running of our defence industries with an inbuilt demand to spend more and more. And this is where the government's failure to produce any kind of international strategy for peace. I'm not here to defend Russia in Ukraine, but I am here to call for peace in Ukraine as I would call for peace in other wars. You don't achieve that by just endlessly raising defence expenditure. You do it by a real diplomatic determination to bring about a peace process. Starmer has done none of that, and neither of his foreign secretaries have done anything in that direction at all.
I just want to ask you finally, you know, you are a Labour man, really. You've been a Labour politician for the majority of your life.
I joined the Labour Party when I was 16. Odd thing to do for a 16-year-old in Shropshire, but I did.
So only 10 years then. If there was a chance to bring the Labour Party back into a socialist control, would you consider rejoining the Labour Party?
I don't see any chance of that happening. I think the Labour Party's ship has frankly sailed. I'm sad to say that, but I do. The numbers of people that joined during my leadership, most of whom were either expelled or left the party, the policies being pursued are weak, to put it mildly, and the numbers of people active in the Labour Party is minuscule all over the country. And what I noticed last week in the elections, and I did a lot of travelling around the country in the local elections, I was supporting independent candidates and different groups like Aspire, Entire Hamlets, Redbridge Independence, Blackburn Independence, and so on. What I noticed amongst the public was a clear division. Those that were susceptible to the message of reform were susceptible to the message of the simplicity and the danger of Farage's message, which is basically you blame all minorities for every problem we've got. It's nonsense. He knows it's nonsense, but it's very dangerous nonsense. And the others were just looking for an alternative. So they're voting independent, voting green, or whatever. And they didn't see in Labour any way forward. What I noticed among some of the older voters, if you like, very traditional Labour voters, they said, well, I can't change the habits of a lifetime. And I would say, well, why? And they said, well, I've always done that. And some said, I was happy to vote Labour when you were leader, but not anymore.
You had a number of victories during the local elections.
And the results were mixed all over the country, as ever. But I think the way in which the independent candidates in the East End of London, in Newham, in Redbridge, and particularly in Tower Hamlets, in a sense, were actually very much traditional Labour platform. Build council houses, better administration, and in the case of Tower Hamlets, student bursaries, free school meals for secondary school children. And despite everything, they managed to build 20 youth centres when all their neighbouring councils were closing youth centres. I think that I say, well done, Tower Hamlets.
Do you think that West Streeting's constituency in Ilford, do you think that could go to an independent at the next election?
Very likely to, yeah. I spent quite a bit of time in Redbridge last week and the week before. I went, I think, five times to Redbridge over the last few weeks and spoke to a lot of people there. And Streeting managed to creep through by 500 votes against Liani Mohammed. I would have thought it must be a huge risk for him. And I certainly didn't detect any great popularity for him at all.
Do you think he'd be popular as leader?
He is trained in the dark arts of student politics. And I think about the last thing this country needs is student politics running it.